So I guess Drake was right. He was on to something when he was telling Meek Mill back to back. A lot of things are going bad right now for Meek. Things are looking pretty meek. And it's not because of anything run-of-the-mill. Here's all I know. I've not heard the audio. But there's been enough people that said they've heard the audio of his ex-bodyguard leaking audio of Meek Mill getting diddymatized. Should have fled to the island with him. Apparently, Diddy's flee to an island where it's not like protected of crime, but you're kind of you can't be tried or I don't know, some weird thing. But yeah. I guess the real question is that a world tour or your girl's tour? I think the real question is that a world tour or P. Diddy's tour? yeah. I guess things are down bad for Meek. But you know what? I don't feel like getting Twitter fingers from him because, you know, he has some bikes he could ride around Philly and some people he knows that could pop a cap in me, which seems like someone's already popped a cap in his booty hole. yeah. But, you know, I don't know what to think about all this stuff, you know. I'm trying to think of a more positive, you know. I gotta admit, I'm already starting to feel the benefits of my time off, you know. I feel like I've retired. I got a nice clean white shirt. I got some nice fitted pants. I showered in the afternoon. Like, things are crazy around here. I feel well rested. I feel great. And you know what? I think the dangers of this is, man, you know, when you actually don't have a whole lot of time of just doing stuff and you get to actually enjoy things and just enjoy the monotony, and I mean that in a good way of life, you realize all these things out here, like these Diddy situations, they're not really that interesting. I think it's entertaining as an escape because all it does is kind of confirm old tales of Hollywood and stuff like that. It confirms everything that people always speculate about selling your soul, doing anything to move up in the ranks, you know. But at the same time, when you really take outside of that and you're just kind of enjoying life and you're actually doing stuff, this like Diddy situation, it's unfortunate for the people involved in terms of the victims. Like, you know, I really don't care about the guys who's been fucked in the ass, to be frank with you. Like, it is what it is, you know. That's a personal choice they made. You know, as someone once told me, open wide and in and out can keep their prices low regardless of the minimum wage requirements. Because a lot of things are going in and out these days. But, you know, at least you can substitute tomatoes for buns. And it seems like he was not exactly going keto out here. but yeah, I mean, 50 Cent exposed it all for years. You know, 50 Cent's always been kind of the truth teller. 50 Cent was really the Cat Williams before Cat Williams. You know, Cat Williams did a whole 2.5-hour expose. 50 Cent, over like the past 15 years in interviews, on radio, this, that, and the other, articles, social media, has been telling you all this stuff about it. He's been telling you all about these people. And most time it has come to light. So really, 50 Cent, you know, he's taking y'all to the candy shop. And it seems like P. Diddy's the really one licking the lollipop. And when you ask Diddy, why don't you stop? He's like, whoa, hey. But yeah. But yeah, honestly, I don't have much of interest in it. I'm enjoying life, paying my taxes. Haha, what are those? But now, you know what? Recording this on April 1st, 2024. Oh yeah, by the way, welcome to episode 272 of the Off & Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. But yeah, recording this on a Tuesday, April 1st, 2024, Eastern at 2:50 p.m. Eastern. I don't know why I said 2024 Eastern, because it doesn't matter. Eastern Pacific, it's 2024, so I don't know why the fuck I specified that. But yeah. Just, you know, enjoying this time off, enjoying the fruits of my labor, you know, which apparently the fruit durian, right, has a very, pungy smell? I watch a lot of food channels, and this guy, he travels to Cambodia, Thailand, all these, like, Vietnam, he actually lives near Vietnam. But he travels all these out of country, you know, he travels a lot. And I've always heard about this durian. It kind of looks like a pineapple, but a sus pineapple. It looks like the type of pineapple that P. Diddy would offer his new signees. It's got a pungy smell, but, you know, you'll have a number one hit on the charts. All right. But yeah. Yeah. How durian. Jesus. All right. But yeah. You know, it's been a revealing time for me. You know, I've really just kind of enjoyed the art of doing nothing. It really is beautiful. Because, you know, if you're going to be doing, at least the art of doing nothing, the beauty of it is convincing yourself that you're doing something and that you're not doing nothing. When in reality, doing nothing, you realize you're actually doing something. You know, they say rest is where most of the gains is made. And lifting is really like life, you know. You can only expedite so much energy towards something. And you have to trust the process of what that energy put into something does. Right? Like, you can't force growth in all facets. So that's why, you know, working out and exercising is one of those things that I would want to pass on to my kids. And it's not, it's more about, it's one of those things, the importance of it, it's kind of like sports. It teaches you a lot about life and how things really work. The body is a mitochondria. No, I'm kidding. That's not the right term. It's the powerhouse of how everything works. If you're taking care of your body, everything else will be better than ever. If you are spending 10 bucks a day on Panda Express, well, a couple months later, it's going to catch up to you. But no. It really is just, I noticed that, you know, I'll tell you my biggest revelation so far. It's just how different of a person I feel when you're disattached from, you know, a job or draining yourself doing something that you're told to do all day. And that's not just from work. It goes across, like, all facets. When you are just occupied with doing something and you just get caught in the habit of doing it and you're not really asking yourself, what am I doing? Why am I doing? It takes the idea of actual original thought out of you. It takes the fun out of it. No, but it does take the, it takes the will to actually really be in tune with what you're doing. I know how corny and cheesy that shit sounds, but you're not really in tune with what you're doing. I think that's when you become very irresponsive to a lot of telltale signs. But you know, it is very responsive. Today's sponsor. I'm kidding. This time. But no. You know what I also found out? I watched the Roadhouse. This is true. I watched Roadhouse. The, I guess the remake of the old Roadhouse. You know, as Zach Brown would say, I'm Patrick Swayze, bitch. But no. Apparently the Nightcrawler has found the Roadhouse. And apparently, Mr. Proper 12 has. Conor McGregor literally just played himself. If that was actually his job, like, that's exactly how Conor McGregor would have acted. Hey, let me give you a tip, buddy. Don't get this close. Boom, you know. And you know what? I will say, I actually thought the movie was really good. And I never saw the original Roadhouse, but I guess it's really nothing really like it. But at the same time, if it's a remake of a movie, and it's not a sequel to another movie, the whole point of a remake is to kind of have a different spin on it. I don't need a recreation of the same thing if it's a similar movie, you know? But overall, I thought it was very entertaining. And of course, you know what's annoying is when you watch a movie and you're like, you know what, I enjoy it. This shit was good. And then, of course, when you watch some nowadays, your phone picks up. Everybody's watching me, and it picks up, and now I'm getting all these shorts on YouTube slowly starting to pop on my algorithm this morning about Conor McGregor, you know, basically talking about Roadhouse and Conor McGregor, like, people's thoughts on it, you know, the rating on the movie, like, the movie review, is it good? It's like, damn. And then I come across a couple making fun of Conor McGregor's acting in some parts, and I'm like, you know, I actually thought he really owned the screen. I mean, in terms of some of the fighting stuff, I mean, you could tell a lot of it was very enhancedly CGI, but I think it was supposed to kind of have that enhanced cheesy feeling to it. But you could tell, like, there was a lot of choreographed aspect. There was sometimes it didn't feel all natural, which, I mean, who cares? Like, as long as it doesn't, like, it's not completely bad or distracting, but overall, I thought the action was great. People are like, oh, there's no plot in the movie. Who gives a fuck? You're watching a movie called Roadhouse. Who gives a fuck about the plot? I don't give a fuck about the character development of whatever. Is it Knox? Whoever Conor McGregor's. It's like, the dude is literally designated to go kill this guy. I don't give a fuck if he has a emotional or an enhancement in his character. He's there to kill the Nightcrawler. Alright? Or Dalton. And, also, I thought Conor McGregor did well. The only thing that bothered me is it took, like, 45 minutes for him to fucking show up in the goddamn movie. That's the only thing that bothered me. I was like, I guess he wasn't technically the second man, but let's be honest. The press tour, all I keep seeing is this press tour of interviews with McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm thinking, like, oh, these dudes are, like, you know, the movie 61, Roger Maris and Tom, like Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle, you know, they're back and forth, they're conversate, like, you know, they're Dumb and Dumber. I mean, not Dumb and Dumber, you know, well, I don't know, the way Connor's tweaking in some of these videos, you know, people are like, oh, he needs to go to rehab. It's like, I mean, you know, maybe he's just having a strong itch, you know, but nah, the guy, honestly, I thought he did really well. Honestly, I thought the movie was entertaining. I was actually trying to go see the movie this week at the theater. And then I just happened to come across, it was on Amazon Prime. I'm like, oh, I feel like they probably could have put this in theaters and made some fucking money off of it. But what do I know? Thanks for saving me a few buckaroos. I'll say that much. But damn, I was kind of looking forward to going to the theater. But yeah. But now, you know what? That's the thing. Sometimes you watch a movie and you can just enjoy it. And sometimes the worst thing you do after is see what other people thought of the movie. Because then now, it's made me think, like, damn. Like, do I have a bad eye for what's good out here? You know? Do I, like, really, do I really not know what good entertainment is? And it's like, I feel like it's all about, you know, we try to have too many, like, we try to have too many, like, think pieces, these deep introspective, you know, any movie that's about someone that's handicapped or some sad story, that will win Oscars. But something like Roadhouse, one that's extremely entertaining, can't just win, like, an action film. I'm not saying it's the best action film of the year. I haven't seen every action film. But I'll say this. I mean, it was pretty good shit. Like, I would give it, like, a 7.5 or 8 out of 10. You know, I would recommend it. I mean, look, there's always, like, some things you could make fun of. It definitely felt a little, like, they definitely played into movie, like, oh, yeah, my mom died a year ago, so it just left us with the bookstore thing. Like, all right. Sorry to hear that. Like, it's like every movie contains someone's mom or dad dying. It's like, Jesus Christ. I can't just be a struggling bookstore, you know? You gotta create that. Oh, and be like, oh, it's actually the crate because of the stories she's trying to tell and all this stuff. Like, all right, whatever. It definitely played into definitely the dude. They try to have the son of the father who's in jail. So he's like a representation of nepotism. The Beck guy. The guy who's basically trying to take over the Roadhouse to put their new property on there. Because they built the, was it not the Key West, but you know, the island basically. And it's just, yeah, they never play in, like, nepotism. They try to make him as much of a self-indulgent douchebag as possible. It's like, all right, fine. But you know what? Overall, other than, like, a few things that are, like, all right, another, like, stereotypical movie thing here. Overall, the movie was entertaining. The dialogue was pretty good. Like, it wasn't distractingly bad. Like, it wasn't terrible or nothing. Like, it fit into what was going on. It was a lot of action. But so overall, go see Roadhouse, you know. Just don't eat at Texas. unless you're trying to Brokeback Mountain. See how it all connects. Diddy. Produced by Diddy. Brokeback Mountain. All right. But yeah. Yeah, I'm on a gambling streak right now. I've actually won 3 days in the past week. I've won some money. But, you know, it's like you take a little it's crazy what happens when I start winning when basically I have some time off to actually think about what I'm doing. It's crazy, you know? and I will say today, sometimes the issue is when you win, when you're on a little bit of a hot streak, you start betting on dumb shit. I bet it on darts. I didn't even know you could bet on darts. When you start betting on sports where you can't even track what's going on, it's non-TV, there's no live feed or live box score you can watch, it's just like, hey, I just trust that. Like, if they tell me, like, yeah, you lost all your props, I'll be like, yeah, I guess I did. I can't even double check. Like, it's like, man, I guess I did. Have my money. When you start, like, all right, that's where you need to slow it down. All right. Or shut it down, down, down. But you know what? I think I know I have a plan this week, you know. I'm going to record a podcast every single fucking day. Today's Monday, which means every day till I go back, I'm going to record the episode. You know what? I'm going to give the people what they want, don't want, what they didn't ask for. Because you know what? I'm a man and I deserve to commit to my craft. I deserve to be the best version of myself. Yeah. That's what we all say. Just to disappoint you later. you know what, honey? One day, you just got to trust me. We're gonna have two vacation homes. We're gonna live in a nice big house. You're not gonna have to worry about a thing. 10 years later, be like, sweetie, can't pay this, you know? But you know, us guys, we do that shit, you know. Me included, you know, we sell It's not even about selling something. Like, you generally, like, you want to be able to do X, Y, and Z. But at the same time, over time, when you're you have to start becoming realistic with yourself and the output you could give to someone. Because you promise all those things, or you have the aspiration. Then you realize, like, you know what? I don't know if I want to do all that to get that, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think a lot of guys, we just say shit and worry about it later. We just say all the right things. We say what we think a woman want to hear. When in reality, when you do that, you get yourself in massive debt a lot of times. Not talking about me. I don't get a debt. I am anti-debt. I will be progressively struggling before I get into debt. Because debt equals you're in debt. Did to opening your butthole for Capital One. They never put that in their commercial. You know, they always promote 2% cash back. It's like, yeah, but they know if they put that, you're going to spend X amount more. So the cash back you get, they're still making a profit, you dumb fucks. Like, I know I've talked about credit cards again. It just really bothers me when people just treat credit cards like it's money they have when it's not. It was so stupid about credit cards. This is the mind fuckery of finance and business and credit cards that they have done. They have convinced us, and people actually believe credit cards is a cult. You really think about it. They have convinced us that spending money, even if you have, let's just say you spend $100, you go to the mall, you spend $100, use your Capital One credit card. We'll just use that as an example. Or Discover. You're about to discover how much of a rabbit hole you have fucked yourself in. Use your Discover, just standard credit card. You put it on a credit card, and then you literally, like, this is the, oh, well, I just pay it and then take the money out of my own account and pay them later. And I'll pay them that day. It's like, you could have just paid it out of your own bank account the first time and you've been done with the process. Yeah, but now I'm going to build an extra 30 points in the next 3 months on my credit score. It's like, yes, cool. And then it's going to come back down when you take another loan because you're in this cycle of always being comfortable. Just, and I think really what the credit card is designed for is to disattach your relationship with your own money so you spend more freely. And so you treat money like it's not a prized possession. That is really, in my view, credit cards. I'm not saying I don't use credit. I use them in very certain situations, higher price situations. But for everyday uses, to spend on everything, like the rule of thumb, if you can't pay it out of pocket, then you can't afford it. It's really that simple. But it's just, I just like don't get this whole, like, it's pretty simple. Spend what you have. Spend what you could spend to afford. And I don't care if you pay 20, if you use $20 on a credit card to go pick up something to eat, right? To go get some pizza. And 2 hours later, you transfer the $20 and pay it off anyways. It's like, yeah. But you just went through a whole nother process just to appease a credit score number that doesn't really prove how trustworthy you are with money. Literally, these credit scores, they are designed to make you feel like that with this, you'll be able to get X, Y, and Z. Really, it's designed for these companies to track your spending. It is not because they have a extra care about trying to protect you. So, they don't give you something you can't afford. That's not really what credit score is designed for. It is a manipulative system that makes you feel like you're a beneficiary of having a good credit score. In reality, if you really have enough money, you can buy anything. And you just pay it and they'll give it to you. Because you know what places really don't want? people paying stuff in loans that they're never going to be able to probably ever pay back. But, you know, sometimes it's necessary. It's unrealistic that someone pay $15,000 up front for a car. It's unrealistic to ask someone to, you know, spend $1,200 on a car repair up front all the time, you know, to pay these extreme amount of unexpected stuff, property taxes. But at the same time, I'm just tired of coming around with credit cards. I am tired of people trying to convince me and convince people that credit cards is your way to get rich. This is the manipulative way you can make a profit off a credit card. And you have to spend 30 hours a week doing X, Y, and Z to make a few extra $100 on scamming credit card. When you know what you could have done, spend the extra $30 a week and got a fucking job. That's what you could have done. How about that? And probably made more than trying to manipulate a system that's just a roundabout way of scraping up a couple percentage points off purchase you made. You're really no different than these extreme couponers that people would make fun of on these commercials or on these TLC shows where they get $500 worth of groceries for 18 cents or they actually, the grocery store pays the money back. Which I don't even know if these grocery stores will allow you to do that anymore. That was a crazy. The fact that these extreme couponers just like, you know, when they walked into the Costco's, when they walked into the Walmarts, the Publix's, the Kroger's, these people are like, oh, these fucking people. Because they hold up the line. They always go at the worst time of day. They're not considered to go like first thing in the morning when they first open where no one's there and they can, all right, you know, have someone there to take their time with it. I would just maybe like, hey, you know what? Go to self-checkout. I'm not dealing with this shit today. Be like when you go to some of these grocery stores at night, they just completely shut down any checkout area and everything's self-checkout, which I don't mind. I always go self-checkout. And by the way, I see the side eyes from you ass wipes when I do self-checkout, when I do full grocery shopping. Like, I don't get a crazy amount of shit, you know. Sometimes $80 to $100, $120, $140 dollar type of trips, you know. I'm a very good spender. I maximize, so it's a decent amount of stuff. At these self-checkouts, they got these little carts. They have these little ports. You know, the self-checkout is typically like a little roundabout thing. There's like four slots you pick, and then you put in your cart, and you just have to, whatever. And I see, and there was a little bit of a line on Easter Sunday, which is like, hey, it's like, hey, it's not my fault. There's six of them, and these other lines are taking forever. I went to self-checkout. And guess what? I moved pretty swiftly. But they were giving me this look because I had a decent amount of stuff. I could see the eyes of people with like five things. Like, oh, look at this asshole holding up the self-checkout. It's like, first of all, there's three people that were here are these other ones before me that have half the stuff I do. I scanned all my shit, bagged it up, paid, rolled out of there before these other three motherfuckers that were here before me at these other self-checkout places didn't do theirs in enough time. But because I'm a young whippersnapper, I'm the ignorant fuck. Okay. But I saw the eyes, and I've seen it a few times. So I just want to say this. If you don't want me doing self-checkout, get people to scan my stuff faster and to allow me to use my card, my Kroger card, when I don't have it. Where the self-checkout, I can just type in the ID. But you know what? You guys giving me side eye. Like, oh, like you got somewhere to be. It's like you went here on Easter Sunday. You obviously don't give two fucks about who has risen. All right. The only thing that's risen is your animosity towards, you know, a lookalike Jesus. Jesus. It's funny how Easter is about cracking eggs, and I bought 78 of them. Well, you know, it's better to crack eggs in a pan than to crack eggs in her pan. That was terrible. I'm sorry. I could not think of anything better. But yeah. creme de la creme egg, homie. Wow. But it's this epidemic of people at grocery stores, people at these places. There's like this rule of law, right? I would understand if the thing, you know how they used to have these things? They used to have like the express self-checkout, where it's like 15 items or less type of thing. It would say 10 to 15 items or less. But the issue is, they don't have that anymore. So, for your little four items, you want to get some beet juice and shit, and some Tupperware. Not my fucking problem, granny. Alright? So, I'm sitting there. I literally get through my stuff in like 4 to 4 minutes. And it's a decent amount of stuff. And I'm just getting these people looking at me. When there's five other spots that are being occupied by other people, you want to look at me. You know, it's always the pretty privilege. Now I see what the ladies on spring break feel like, which I didn't realize the week I took off is on spring break. Well, I don't know if it's actually on spring break, but typically spring break's the first week of April. Well, no one's going to Miami this year anyways, because, you know, they want to keep a clean place. I do find it interesting. I remember I saw a couple weeks ago, they're like, heavy police presence at Miami Beach to prevent, you know, the crazy partying type of thing, you know, not let it get out of hand. They're like blocking parking on the main strips in Miami and stuff. And these Miami business owners, you know, they're like, hey, like, this is when we make our business. This is the whole reason why we opened a shop here, was for spring break. This is literally like 40% of our income for the year. And then, you know, but, you know, I get the weird dynamic there, because, like, you want to feel protected, but at the same time, the wildness is kind of what drives the economy there, per se. Like, people don't think of Miami to be, you know, like, a civil place. People travel there to be uncivil. And I'm not saying do anything criminal, but I mean, you know, be sluts and be, you know, fresh and fit guests, or to be wannabe fresh and fit, you know. So I think fresh and fit is kind of like a dying, no one really, I think the whole manosphere thing has kind of died down. The whole red pill, like a lot of that stuff has been diluted down. Now, maybe that's because they got demonetized on YouTube, or it just feels like the manosphere thing, it's kind of gotten to a point where it's kind of played out. It's literally just people saying the same shit. Like, there's nothing original. There's no real, like, specific situations of what you do. It's like, if anything related to this, this is what you do. This is how you're supposed to be. This is how you're supposed to act. And they try to bring Greek philosophers and shit like that. And like, oh, a weak man's biggest weakness is a woman's wild wings, you know. Real men go to B-dubs. But yeah, look, it's just the same shit, you know. Really, a lot of this stuff is just common sense. And a lot of these manosphere channels, they have become very just redundant. They have become very, they have to become over the top with their clickbait stuff to get attention. Because honestly, I really don't care about the loneliness single epidemic of young 20, 30-year-old men like that. It's like, you know why a lot of men are in their 20s and 30s are lonely and feel rejected by women and society and stuff like that? It's because they're lazy. because they don't have a job a lot of time. It's because you don't get to choose what chooses you. That's just not how this works, right? It's just men that bitch about not getting stuff that they feel entitled to. And that works for women too. you know, it's like when women get older, when they get to 35, 36, 37, and they're not married, they don't have kids, and now, like, they want to start, like, oh, it's because men, it's like, you know what, it's be, you know what, it works for you too, because at the same time, men didn't choose you for the first 30 plus years of your life for a reason. You got to take accountability for that. Either you shunned yourself out, you didn't possess characteristics of the type of men that you were attracted to or were attracted to you, and you just got to deal with that. I don't care about why you're lonely. I don't care if you were 30 or older. I understand the 20s, like I'm 28, but at the same time, even then, I'll be honest, like at 26, I don't really give a fuck about hearing about how lonely you are. It's like, if you're lonely, get a fucking hobby. You get a hobby, you'll be around bitches that want to fuck you. And guess what? You'll have a lot of hobbies. Almost too many. Then you got cut out hobbies. Then you got cut out bitches. And it's a cycle of slowing down, ramping up, slowing down, ramping up. You know? What are you going to do? You know? What these bitches want from a single father. I'm not even a single father. But you can call me daddy. Give you someone to look up to. I'm sorry. That is from a Drake song. But I'm sure Drake probably took it from another sample like 30 years prior. But you know what? What do I know? I really don't care about why you don't have a girlfriend, why you don't have a boyfriend, why you're not married, why you've been quote-unquote handcuffed, cuffed without the ring. Like, all this stuff that people complain about. And you know what's crazy to me? I'll say this much, too. There could be someone in a happy situation. Like, there's actually this recent situation, I think, on TikTok, where a woman... Now, look, the layers of it were kind of fucked up. Now, I ain't gonna lie about that. But just the simple fact that she was with someone for 8 years, but they weren't married. But they lived together. They did husband and wife things. They basically, like, were a married couple, but they weren't married. But, except, there are people like that. And that's normal. Well, it's normal for them, because a lot of people, they want to get married at the right aspirational time. And some people want to live a married life, but not really have to go through the whole process of proving the stress of the financial or the stress of what happens if we break up and then you stay together for the wrong reasons. Because the thing when you're not married, if you stay together, it's because you have to make a concerted effort, because if you guys break off, there's no real, like, protection net. It's either, like, you. Whereas, like, if you're married, sometimes marriage can, the idea of it and the legality of it makes people do crazy things and lie to themselves, be miserable, kill themselves, cheat on their spouse, and all that shit, because the stress of leaving a situation they know will fuck them up financially or just situation involved is not worth, you know, the other side is not worth vice, is not worth, you get what I'm saying, all right? God damn it, Clint. Inspired by Can't Talk. It's crazy. But, I guess the moral of all this is like, look, get your head out of your ass. Like, let me tell you, you telling the world you're lonely isn't going to flock everyone to you. It's probably going to do the opposite. Typically, there's nothing wrong with feeling lonely, right? That's not the issue. The problem is you feel lonely and you think it's an accusational thing of the way society is in a general sense of why you're lonely. It's like, no, you just need to actually go to avenues that attract the type of people that you want to be around. And not just accept that who's ever in close proximity is who you want to be around. You may have to move to where it is. Whatever that may be. But I'll tell you, and I'll say this, and it really, I'll just say straight out. So, I, in passing, let's just say I have come across some of these, you know, I call them scam artists, but you know what, to each their own, these spiritual teachers and all this stuff. And you know what you sense from a lot of these spiritual teachers and stuff is that they refer to people as more or less than on the simplest level. They like to use general things that make people feel more better about themselves, which is fine. You know, we talk about energy frequency and stuff like that. You know, being on a similar frequency, all that is fine and dandy. My issue is, and I've heard from a couple different ones, it's a similar type of terminology they use. They refer to people who aren't, to the people they're speaking to. They're like, if they are like you, they are peasants. These are the exact words they use. They are peasants. People that are drained in energy. People that don't want to do X, Y, and Z with their life. People that don't have the aspiration that you have. The ones that are spending $2,000 a month for this bullshit, you know, 3-hour course about how to enhance your metabolic energy level. They don't know shit. They are peasants. They're holding on to their money because they don't want to grow, you know? And I'm not making fun of the channels. I'm not making fun of what their overall of their audience or their message. I just find it crazy how people that typically get attracted to these channels, they're trying to, you know, raise their, you know, they're trying to raise their energy from a positivity standpoint. And their message is the only way to raise your energy is to kind of make other people feel less than. When really, a positive energy person, a person that's really radiating, doesn't look anyone as less or above them. And if anything, they're supposed to bring up people, not detract from people, not view people in a negative light. And if someone's in a negative light, take your radiation and add some light to their life. It's crazy. Now, look, I'm not asking people to fix people, but you gotta at least give the opportunity to enhance someone's life. And I just hate this. And honestly, I just hate when people talk about other people like peasants in any capacity. Because, you know, honestly, you can't call anyone a peasant or less than you unless you both grew up on the same starting field. And technically throughout your life, you did better in whatever metric you want to measure on. But the reality is no one starts on the same level playing field. Because even if you both live in the same house, everyone has two different, you know, biological advances. They have different characteristics that are more enhancing. You know, it could be physically. Some people have more mental. Some people have more, a few screws loose that may interfere, that cause problems throughout their life of dealing with stuff compared to someone else. You know, everyone has different advantages and disadvantages. So to call people peasants, and this is what money does to people that are quote unquote gurus, and that's why Jay Shetty. I think Jay Shetty's probably great. I'm gonna be honest, Jay Shetty was one of the first podcasters I listened to. It was one of the things that got me into it. Because I, you know, it was one of those things like when you're younger, you're a lot more impressionable. I'll be honest. So when you're younger, you're a lot more impressionable. It's very like things that you repeat to other people. You take little wisdom bits out of it. And his background was interesting. I don't know the full expose, what's going on with him. I know there's some things, there's some inconsistencies people are pointing out with his story. From being a monk, businessman, like really? You're telling me from the ages 18, 22, you're spending half of your day as a monk and half of your day doing business in London, basically doing like Wall Street in London. Really? You're really living the monk lifestyle while doing that? Like, all right. And there's just some inconsistencies in his. And then now, and look, he sells like $7,500 courses to help you become a coach, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The issue is the approach to get people on program is how much money do you make? Do you think you could afford this? How much money do you plan? It's like the whole aspect around it is money. And that's not really what being a self-help coach guru is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be you take care of all this other stuff. So you are in the right place to actually have a vision to make money, to have a great plan or a great idea or, you know, a great business acumen. But you got to check all these other boxes before the money. When you make money the priority, you take morals and you start calling people peasants as some. And you become this just guy that, as people say, Jay Shetty is just a meme reader, you know? and there's videos of basically him in like old videos on Facebook he would do. It's just a compilation of him literally reading memes that were out there years before he ever said it on camera. But he kind of made it as his original, put his name under the quote. Like it was from him. And that's the type of shit where it's like, okay, do I think he's a bad person? No. I think his intention is mostly good. He truly wants to spread positivity. He seems like a genuine guy. And I think most of these self-coach gurus, they may genuinely want to do what they're trying to do. The issue is they kind of get caught up in their own world and they become, on a lesser level, no better than people like Diddy, who they use their power, they use their influence to basically control narratives, and they put people in vulnerable positions, pit people against each other, and they capitalize off of it. Like, the whole point of him, like, the whole point of, like, demasculating men in Hollywood, the whole point about taking something like that and having that over someone is they know that you have that over them, you can expose them, so they're going to do everything you say, and it's not really a fair negotiation of whether they say yes or no. So, I don't know, just a thought or two of that. But yeah, I don't know. I just think calling people peasants is wild. I think another human being calling people peasants while they want to travel to these third world countries and pretend that they actually care about people. Are you calling them peasants because they need a reservoir for water? Because they need libraries built? Because they need actual influence? They need actual resources? Are they peasants? But you wouldn't go around telling these 12-year-old children who are like literally just surviving on their own, fighting diseases off in these third world countries, you wouldn't call them to their face peasants. You wouldn't get them in a group hotel air-conditioned assembly charging $3,000 for a three-day, you know, basically seminar for 4 hours a day. You wouldn't call those kids peasants, but you'll go in these seminars and call these people. If you don't think like this, you are peasants. It's like, honestly, anyone that would pay $3,000 for a three-day seminar is a peasant. I don't know how to put it to you. Especially with all this information kind of being out there. And they're not really giving you specific intel or advice. They're not really giving you specific instruction. It is just a guidance, quote unquote. I think that's my biggest issue, is like, if you're gonna talk about getting your money up, talking about getting your spiritual frequency up, actually, why don't you actually show the instructions to do it It's like giving someone a math equation, giving someone whatever the Pythagorean theorem from PEMDAS or whatever, and just say PEMDAS. And be like, okay, what does it stand for? It's like, well, it's PEMDAS, you know? Just go from there. You know, it's really about thinking about what to do. Not about actually knowing, all right, P is parentheses, E is exponential. See, I don't even know. Multiply, division, add, subtract. You get exponents. Exponents, god damn it. parentheses, exponents. I was about to say exponential. I feel like I'm more on an expedition right now. But, you know, the math teacher, they break it down. Hey, you go, there's step-by-step. There's no step-by-step. It is just these blocks of like, hey, you got to do this. And then you got to find out what's important to you. It's like, okay, so how do I start a, like, what's the first thing I do to start a business? It's like, see, you just got to trust the process. It's like, okay, what the fuck is within this process? Hey, the process is a process within a process. That's the type of shit we're talking about here. But yeah, it's not the shit on people. That's not really the point of my rant there. The whole point is really just like, hey, can you just kind of actually tell me how to get to where you're at? Can you at least tell me a guide? Or they don't actually want to tell you that, because it's kind of like this weird thing in sports. It's like, we don't want to actually help. We don't actually like want to help each other become better, be a better team. A lot of people are in this fear mongering thing where it's, it's like, that's for you to figure out. It's like, yeah, but you're the one selling courses of how to do it. It's like, yeah. It's like, they don't really want you to become as successful as them. They just want you to be slightly better, so it proves that they can sell for bullshit prices. But they don't actually want anyone their level to have competition. That's really what they don't want. People don't want real competition. People don't actually want people to succeed at the levels they're at. But yeah, I don't know. All right, I think I'm going to stop there. I got some stuff I want to get done today. But you know what? I like this episode. You know, I'm back on the fat well. Yep. Wellin' and dealin'. All right, guys. That was episode 272 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. And good thing this camera lens wasn't below the waist, because I played with my balls for half the show. Didn't even realize it. All guys know what that is. Like, sometimes, like, you just get comfortable, you know, and you're just like, yeah, you know. I probably could have just left that out. Well, at least it wasn't hanging out. hanging in there, buddy. All right, guys. Have a great day, morning, night, evening, whenever this is posted. All right, guys. I will see ya. Ooh, nice titties.